Well, good morning. It is good to be here at Crawford to worship together with you this morning on this special, special Lord's Day as we set some brothers apart for deacon ministry today. I do want to say before we move into the matter at hand this morning that we are thrilled that our team that went to Guatemala has gone and had a great week of ministry there, painting and doing those types of things, and then teaching English to young people in the afternoons. And so this group has, if you are connected on Facebook, you're able to see a lot of the pictures, and it's just been a very profitable, blessed week for them. And we're so thankful for this team and Miss Sarah Olson and her leadership, as she and Dr. Bob had lived there for a good while before coming to the States. And so it's great to have that connection and that heartbeat for those people. And I know this, that those who have gone and served will not be the same again. Because once you go and do mission, the Lord works in you and changes your heart and mind and life in many, many ways. And so we're thankful to have them back. And then this morning, as we turn our attention to the deacon ministry, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6 this morning. Acts chapter 6. And I want to just say as we prepare to begin this morning that we are we have a number of deacons. In fact, if you're a deacon in the room, if you'll stand up for just a moment. If you are a deacon brother in the room, would you stand up? And we thank God for these men. There's one up, Brother Chad, in the balcony. We have some that are not able to be here today, but these are our current serving deacons at the moment, and so we're grateful for them. And then if y'all will be seated for just a moment, and then Brother Chase, would you stand up, man, right here on the front row? And Brother Chase Whitner is being reactivated to serve as a deacon here in this church. He served in previous years, and then he stepped down, and then he's back up. And so we're honored that you may be seated, my brother. And then Andrew and Charlie, where are y'all? If y'all stand up just a minute, I want everybody to see y'all. Now, and this is Andrew Sinareski here nearer the front, and then Brother Charlie Gessner. And we are grateful for these men. Let me just say a word about them. They were nominated. In fact, Brother Chase was also nominated by you, the membership of Crawford Baptist Church. And then their names were put forward. And then we had a members meeting back in January, and we voted on the deacon candidates. And these brothers all got a vote, and they got a good vote. I think it was unanimous on all of them to come and serve. And we certainly need deacon brothers to join the ranks, and then have others that have served previously to be reactivated. And so we're grateful for that. And let me just say that our first deacon's meeting will be today at 4 o'clock in the banquet room. And in fact, in Trust Institute today, we're going to begin a brand new study. And Pastor Stephen will be leading this study as he's been leading these others most recently. But we're going to be looking at Paul's vision for the deacons. And we'll be studying in Scripture and discussing things over the next few weeks when we meet together on that second and fourth Sundays of the month. And so I just want to encourage, if you are a current deacon, to come and join this study with us as we study and learn to deek better together and what that means in a full or biblical understanding. And, of course, our newly ordained deacons, we certainly want them to come and be a part of that too. But this is, and by the way, we have said this, this is not just for deacons. This book is to help prepare men who want to be godly men. The big objective in our church, yes, we need godly pastors. We desire godly deacons, but we also desire godly men in this church. We believe that a mark of a healthy, strong, biblical church is to have men who are being shaped in the Word and are growing and serving and maturing and are using their spiritual giftedness to further the work of the kingdom through the local church. And so this morning, let me be clear. Yes, we're going to focus on a little study right? That you can learn more about being a deacon, but you can also learn about being a godly man in general. And so I want to encourage men to come. And if we run out of books today, we can order more, okay? But we want you to come. That'll be at 4 o'clock. We meet in the banquet room. The ladies' book study meets in the auditorium. You guys can be seated. Thank you very much for that. This morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, again, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 this morning as we begin to study God's Word today. And perhaps you have never been to a deacon ordination service. Perhaps you've never experienced one, and so we decided to do one on Sunday morning, which this is the first one I've ever been a part of on Sunday morning myself. So, you hang into your seat, and we're going to learn and worship God through the preaching of the Word. And then we're going to have these two young men come up, and one of them is married. So we're going to have Casey come up along with Andrew and stand beside him. We're going to put some chairs up here, and we're going to have these men kneel down. And we're going to do kind of what we see in Acts chapter 6 being done. Now, let me hasten to say, in Acts chapter 6, you don't find the actual word deacon there. You do find that word in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. You also find that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in the verses that Pastor Jared read during the pastoral prayer time there in verses 8 through 13. It does mention deacons. And so what we have here in Acts chapter 6, I believe, would be an apostolic precedent for the office of deacon. The church is in its very infancy here. The church is growing by leaps and bounds. The church is growing. Disciples were being added to the church daily, those who were believing and then being baptized, and then they became members of the church, as we see clearly in Acts chapter 2. By the end of verse 7, it says that the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And so we see again, these are in the early days of the church. The gospel is going forward with power. Men, women, and young people are being converted. They're being transformed by the grace of God. They're being baptized. They're being made into disciples, marked by baptism, and then matured through the ongoing teaching ministry of the Word of God. And that's what we see happening in Acts chapter 6. And so I would call them at least a precedent for the office of deacon, because what we see them doing is an aspect of ongoing deacon ministry even to this day. But Acts chapter 6, look at verses 1 through 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint. Uh-oh. Now that's a problem. And we have to deal with that problem. But a complaint by the Hellenists. Now the Hellenists, just to help you, those are Greek-speaking people. Okay, that's what that means. Your translation may say that. It may say Hellenists, and the footnote below tells you what that is. Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists. So a complaint by the Greek-speaking Jews arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, that would be the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples. That is, they call for a members' meeting, if you will, right? And said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. If you would just bow with me for a moment and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for our time of worship today, through song, through prayer, through the reading of the Word of God. Lord, through the celebration of your grace in and through the Guatemala mission team. Lord, how we praise you. Lord, we ask that, Lord, we would, Lord, with all of our breath and all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we would praise you and worship you and look to you and long to hear you speak to us now through your Word. Father, how I pray that in this time of preaching now that you will anoint me to speak your truth. And I pray, Lord, yes, that Brother Andrew and Brother Charlie would listen as we set them apart to deacon ministry. I pray that all of our deacon brothers would hear the teaching of your word today. I pray, Lord, that men in this church would hear. And that, Lord, that you would even begin that process of calling even other men to be set apart to deacon ministry in the future here at Crawford Baptist Church. I pray, God, that you would help us as pastors and deacons to strengthen the ministry that exists now, that it will be even stronger in the days ahead as we train, as we equip our minds and hearts to be faithful in servanthood. And Lord, I pray for this church that, God, you would have your hand upon her, that you will strengthen her, and Lord, that you would be glorified. And I pray, as verse 7 says, that the word of God will continue to increase. And I pray that, Lord, people would be saved in great numbers as you are glorified through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you'll keep your Bibles open to Acts chapter 6 this morning. And you know, the book of Acts is an incredible book. Acts is the unfolding story of the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, engaging in the mission of God. And what it's important to understand is that this church had been given the Great Commission. And then on the day of Pentecost, as Peter stands and proclaims the gospel and others are proclaiming the gospel, God saves 3,000 souls, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. And then they received the word gladly, and then they were baptized, and then they were added to the number of the church. And so we see how the church is to grow through the proclamation of the gospel and God saving people. And then they're made disciples through the preaching of the word and the work of the Holy Spirit, and then they're marked as disciples through believer baptism, and then they are added to the membership of the church. And that's how we do it to this day here at Crawford Baptist Church. But this was a time of great gospel advance. The gospel is moving forward. In fact, there's been much opposition. You know, there's a spiritual being, his name is Satan, who does not like gospel proclamation. There's a spiritual being named Satan who does not appreciate at all healthy, strong, biblically based churches. And that is Satan. And so he came against this early church. He came with external opposition. He came in like Peter, James, and John. These guys faced intense persecution, as did the other apostles there. And of course, Peter and John are arrested and harangued and harassed and even beaten for the sake of preaching the gospel. And so Satan tried to stop the church through external opposition and persecution, but that didn't seem to work. If you look there in chapter 5 at the very end of it, in Acts chapter 5, for just a moment, verse 41, it says here, right, after these guys had been, when Peter and the apostles had answered, we must obey God rather than men, verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, that's the Jewish Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they'd been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus, that Jesus is the anointed one of God. And so this is a time of great gospel advance. But what we see happening here is they are fulfilling their mission. And you and I have a mission. At Crawford Baptist Church, our mission is we exist to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community on mission. So we glorify God by making disciples. This is gospel ministry. And I want you to see from Acts chapter 6, because here these men are called the seven. And again, I believe that they're kind of a forerunner, if you will, of what we think of when we think of the office of deacon. That's my position on this. And I know the book we're going to start reading and studying today, we'll discuss different understandings and views of Acts 6 in relation to Philippians 1:1 and 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. But I want to say, these men embrace the characteristics of what godly men who are called to be deacons embrace and what they're to reflect in and through their character. But I want you to see in this context what we're going to say, the seven, and then later on the deacons that are selected by churches to serve God and to be a blessing to the people. You see, they were selected because of a situation. Gospel ministry is flowing. People are being converted and saved, and yet we see in this context a problem has developed. And so I want you to understand And this is always true, beloved. Gospel ministry can be endangered. In fact, I should have probably put it this way. Gospel ministry is endangered because the enemy never likes for the gospel to be proclaimed, preached, sung, shared. Satan does not rejoice in any gospel church getting together and focusing attention, setting our minds' attention and our hearts' affection on God and praising Him for who He is and what He has done in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we see that gospel ministry is endangered because Satan is going to do everything he can do. We saw that through external opposition and persecution in Acts. You also see it with Ananias and Sapphira. There's deception on the inside. They may sing, "I surrender all," but they didn't surrender all. They sold some property and they said, "Hey, we're giving the church everything," but they lied about it. They lied to God. They lied to the church. They lied to the members. And of course, God nipped that problem rather quickly in the bud. You can see that in Acts chapter 5. So now Satan tries a new strategy, and it's division. And division has been quite effective in the church from Satan's perspective over the centuries. So I want you to see that gospel ministry can be endangered. And so as the number of the disciples was increasing rapidly, in fact, some would say that this early church grew to over 20,000 members in a number of months. And without the means of mass communication, the leadership and administration issues associated with such a large congregation were just absolutely enormous. And so the church's rapid growth brought about a need for some further organizing of the church for proper biblical ministry. And so there's a principle here. Biblical church organization always responds to needs and to what the Holy Spirit is already doing. Now, organization is not an end in itself. It's a means for facilitating what the Lord is doing in His church. We don't need organization for the sake of having organization. We need organization that God calls for through the Word of God. And we want to have men, and as our book by Alexander Schrock says, you know, it's better to have one deacon who is truly God called and God equipped and biblically eligible to be a deacon than to have six or seven or eight of them who are not going to fulfill that ministry and bring a black eye to the name of Christ. It's better to have one, or I would even say none, right? If we're called to shepherd, pastor, be the elders of this church, the pastors of this church, then let's, through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's shepherd and let's pastor this church. Because that's what God, if God has called you to do that, and then this church has called us to do that, then we need to do that. And deacons, same with you. If God calls you to deacon, let's get in here. Let's study the Bible. Let's study through this new book we're going to begin this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And let's figure this thing out. And let's reorganize. And let's be stronger in our deacon ministry than we have ever been before at Crawford Baptist Church. So gospel ministry can be endangered. But what we see in our passage is gospel ministry must be protected. It must be protected because this is what we're called. We're called, again, here at Crawford Baptist Church. It's our mission statement. We exist to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community, doing it together on mission. And that mission is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me give you my big idea. And we're going to walk through these verses today through the outline that I have. All right? Here's the big idea. Deacons were chosen to protect the gospel ministry of the church by meeting specific needs that threatened the unity of the church. Deacons were chosen to protect the gospel ministry. It wasn't just to have another group of guys got to meet and got to go do stuff and all of that. No. This need precipitated a group of men that are described here in Acts chapter 6 that were needed to help fulfill the gospel mission of that church. And so that's what we see as our big idea today. And I want you to see, again, gospel ministry can be endangered and gospel ministry must be protected. And what we're studying here this morning really is the protecting of the gospel ministry, the gospel mission of the church is being protected through the establishment of this group of men who are going to serve. All right? So, this morning, I have 3 points I want to aim at our deacons, but also at the entire church. Number one, deacons meet needs according to the Word of God. Deacons meet needs according to the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, again, gospel's going forward, people are getting saved, the church is growing, these are good days, there would be space shortages. Remember, they didn't have an official building. They would meet in the courts at the temple and different things. They would meet from house to house. Acts chapter 2 also tells us you didn't have established church buildings for a few more hundred years, really, right? They would just get together and they would just have the Word of God proclaimed to them, probably in the temple courts there in Jerusalem. That was a big place where a lot of that gathered worship was done. And then you had the group time in the homes where they broke bread and all of that in sincerity of heart and those kind of things. But again, the gospel is going forward and people are being saved. The church is increasing by leaps and bounds. And all of a sudden, a complaint by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And so the deacons then, these seven, the proto-deacons, if you will, the early deacons, were called then to come in and to meet a legitimate need within the church. And what I said in the notes that I put out yesterday was their primary role was spiritual service aimed at meeting specific needs. Their primary role was spiritual service aimed at meeting specific needs. And so why do you say spiritual service when these guys are helping to administrate the food ministry? Food distribution ministry of the church. Why would you say that's spiritual? Because apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. Before I came up to preach, I'm praying, Father, please anoint me to preach. Please help my mind work. Help my mind click. Help me understand. Help me be able to communicate clearly and effectively the truth from this passage, but also the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in this room this morning. And listen, if you're a greeter at the door and you hand out a bulletin to somebody, or if you're changing diapers in the nursery, or if you're putting up a bulletin board, or if you're leading a community group in Bible study and discussion, whatever you may be doing, if you're assisting with children's choir or the mission friends or the RAs or the GAs or whatever you're doing, we're called to be a people filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, Christians normally live supernaturally. Again, apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And so when I say their primary role was spiritual service, again, the big goal here is the glory of God, the protection of gospel ministry, the unity of the church, and yes, of course, meeting that specific need that was before them concerning these precious widows, which no commentator that I read really says they were intentionally neglecting the Greek-speaking widows. It's just within all the hustle and the bustle and the growth, there are sometimes people that slip through the cracks. And that always grieves me as a pastor when that happens. And in 30-some years of seeking to pastor, this has happened. And it does happen. Now, we don't have 20,000 like the church in Jerusalem is believed to have had. Right? We've got 300 and some that are pretty active here at Crawford Baptist Church. And even a church our size can have people that may be in the hospital and have things done, and we just lose contact. And we have text messaging and cell phones and emails, snail mail. And we have all these things available to us, and yet this still happens at times. But I said that their primary role was spiritual service aimed at meeting specific needs. Deacon ministries arise from specific circumstances. And so these widows, yes, need to be cared for. These widows need to be cared for. And so the problem is there. It's identified. And so as we see, the apostles have a suggestion for the church. Right? Now, the fact that different needs call for different types of leaders may help explain why we do not see clear responsibilities for deacons spelled out in the New Testament. In other words, we don't just see like this is exactly what deacons do. Because in this case, when we see the apostolic precedent, if you will, for deacons in the future, what we see is there's a specific need, and this need's got to be dealt with. Because this is a huge problem for the church. I mean, the church has done pretty good when it comes to that external persecution. When the Sanhedrin says, don't you preach Jesus in Jerusalem anymore. Don't you dare mention that name. Don't heal anybody in the name of Jesus. They kept doing it. Ananias and Sapphira, the Lord took care of them. Right? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the church, and God healed them, and the guys buried them. But now there's division, there's murmuring, there's complaining, there's dissatisfaction within the local church. And so deacons need to meet this need according to the Word of God. So what do the deacons do? Well, they're going to help with the daily distribution of food, and they're going to, again, protect the unity of the church. And I do agree with a thesis from the book that we're starting to read today in our men's group in Trust Institute. I do think that deacons are like assistants to the pastors for the care of God's church. They are official representatives of this church. And you men who are currently deacons, and those, Andrew and Charlie, as you're being set apart today into deacon ministry, you are official representatives of this church. You are official representatives of the pastors. And so when you go to a hospital to visit and you go to the ICU, and they may say at the hospital, are you a pastor? And if you're a deacon, you would say, no, ma'am, I'm not a pastor, but I'm a deacon. I work with the pastors. I serve with the pastors. I can tell you this, when you look in the New Testament, you're always going to see pastors and deacons listed together. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the overseers. That would be another term for the pastors, those who oversee the ministry of the church, and the deacons. He addresses them specifically in Philippians 1:1. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, again, when he lists the qualifications for the elders, which is another word for pastors, when he mentions the qualifications for elders in the local church, right after that in verses 8 through 13, he mentions the requirements for the deacons and the deacons' wives in those verses. What Pastor Jared read earlier this morning. But you see, the pastors and deacons are designed to work together. That's the beauty of this thing. So deacons meet needs according to the Word of God. They have to be flexible. They need to be flexible because in every church and every situation, there may be different needs that arise. And so what happens there? The pastors prayerfully get together, and we find these men who've been set apart by the church to help meet that need. Deacons are the kind of men that see the need and just go get her done. They knock it out. They don't do it for fame or glory, but they do it for the Lord and for His church and for the glory of God. And we have brothers like that that serve in this church. And again, it is oftentimes unbeknownst to people, well, all that's going on, the phone calls, the praying, the visiting. And again, our heart desire as pastors is to see this ministry strengthened in the future for the glory of God and the good of the church. But number one, deacons meet needs according to the Word of God. I want you to see number two, deacons support the ministry of the Word of God. Look at verse 2. Deacons support the ministry of the Word of God. You know, the big difference in 1 Timothy 3 between the requirements for elders or pastors and that of deacons is the deacons do not have to be called to be a teacher in the church. Now, we have deacons that do teach in the church. We do. And that's wonderful. And may God increase their tribe. Amen? That's fine. But you do not have to be gifted in teaching to be a deacon. That's clear from 1 Timothy. You can be, and that's awesome, but if you're not, doesn't preclude you from being or keep you from being a deacon. But I want you to see in the text here, deacons support the ministry of the Word of God, right? Look at, again, verse 2, and the 12 summon the full number of the disciples. They say, hey, let's get the church together. We call that a members meeting. And they say, hey, it's not right that we should give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables. Now, the apostles knew that both the spiritual needs and the physical needs were important. They just realized, hey, with what we got going on right now, and the people gathering day to day and all this kind of stuff happening and taking place, we can't help with the food distribution ministry and be praying like we need to be praying and preparing, studying the Old Testament scripture and being with God in prayer and getting the word that we need to preach to the people. Because they also understand that, if the pulpit is not being filled with Spirit-anointed preaching and teaching of the Word, then the church is not going to continue to move forward. And that is true of any and every church. I mean, you have to have the ministry of the proclamation of the Word and prayer, and you have to have the other ministries that help take care of all the people. And you do get to a point in your numbers where you can't have, the one guy can't preach three times a week and visit all 100 people every week. You can't do that anymore. And so this is God's provision for helpers and assistants, right, in this seeking to minister to the people of God. Because we all need prayer, and we all need shepherding, and we all need pastoral care. And so when you look at deacons as assistants of the pastors, when they are there, when they're calling you, when they're in your hospital room, when they pop by your nursing home or rehab room or whatever it may be, then they are representing the Lord and the church, and you are being loved and cared for, and that's what we see. But again, the deacons support the ministry of the Word, because in stepping up to do what they are being called to do, they enable the apostles to spend time in prayer and the preaching of the Word of God. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this one time when he preached in Acts chapter 6. He said that the man of God who is always available isn't worth much when he is available. Now, what he meant by that is not that the pastor shepherd doesn't have anything to do with the people. It's just that the pastor shepherd has got to be able to get along with God and the Bible and his books. And he's got to be able to pray and read and think and study, so that when he stands behind the sacred desk on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever it may be at the Mission of Hope, or wherever else you might be, then you have something from God that you're just burning in your heart to preach. And so you see, the organization of the seven was to give the apostles the time they needed to dedicate to prayer in preparation and then preaching the Word of God. So the deacons were appointed so the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And notice this here in verse 3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men. There are five qualifications for these brothers. All right. Number one, men. All right. Number two, out from among you. That would be from the faithful in the church. Okay. So let me just read the verse. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute. That's good reputation. Full of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and of wisdom. Wisdom's that ability to apply biblical truth to the everyday situations in life. So you want men who are filled with the Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. So if you got the Holy Spirit, you're going to have some wisdom. And so, but these are the men that you're looking for. And then it says, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Why? Because with sound biblical preaching and teaching, the members of the church are equipped to do the work of the ministry. And I think what you see biblically is this, is that New Testament churches are to be pastor-led, deacon-assisted. But listen, don't miss this. But with every member fulfilling his or her responsibility to minister to others. That may be checking on people that weren't in your community group this morning. If they were absent, you're just going to text them. You're going to email them. You're going to call them. You'll drop by to check on them. You know people are sick and hurting. You do that. Those of you that fix food and take to families when the family's down and out for sickness or whatever it may be. All of these things are just different ways that God is at work in his church for God's love to just be distributed to all the folks. I'm going to tell you, a church our size need a lot of... We need every member ministry. every member. Yes, we need pastors to cast a vision and to provide leadership and direction. And we need godly deacons to come along and assist the pastors in caring and shepherding for the people of this church that are homebound members and in the hospital, the widows. Obviously, in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the deacons are concerned here with a widow ministry. And so that was in existence in the Old Testament. It's existence in existence in the New Testament. It's in existence today. We ought to care. We ought to know what's happening as best we can in our church. And so I want to encourage you, this Sunday morning congregation, to be involved. And to, like on a Wednesday night, to know what's going on and who's hurting and who's sick. You know, it's being a member of a church is not just showing up on Sunday morning, enjoying the music and getting through the sermon, and then beating somebody to the restaurant that you're heading to. Being a church member is being known and knowing others. It's worshiping God and engaging with other people. It's the sharing of our lives, doing of life together. This is what we're called to be as the people of God. And so, again, the deacons then, they meet needs according to the Word of God. That's why they were established in Acts 6, and we're going to see, I believe, that take place again in 1 Timothy 3 and so forth. That they're called to meet specific needs and to assist the pastors in the ministering to the people in the church of God. Because as God grows His church, 1, 2, 3, 4 pastors can't get to everybody that you need to get to. And so they're there to help. Deacons support the ministry of the Word. By you men who are deacons right now, and Brother Andrew and Brother Charles, by you beginning even this week praying for some senior adults and finding out who your homebound members are going to be and then making contact with them, that is a weight off my heart and our hearts so that we can be in touch. Because many of these people have very few contacts outside of a church family. They may have family close and that check, and some folks don't. But it's our mission and our aim to minister to these people and know them best we can and serve them as best we can and take care of the needs that they have. So, deacons, when you do what you do, it supports the ministry of the Word so we have time to pray and prepare and then preach to the gathered congregation. And then the third thing is that deacons unify the church around the Word of God. Deacons unify the church around the Word of God. So we see the problem in verse 1. And there's some murmuring, some complaining. The Greek-speaking widows are not getting the same amount of food as the Hebrew widows, right? And so there's an issue in the church that threatens the unity of the church. So the apostles suggest, okay, let's get everybody together, and we have an idea here. And why don't you, the church, select 7 men, nothing really supposedly significant about 7. They thought that 7 were enough men to get this job done. Now that makes me think, by the way, that these 7 men were not the only ones taking out food deliveries every day. Think about it. If you've got 20,000 members, let's say, 7 deacons aren't going to end this crisis. All right, 7 deacons and 4 pastors not going to end this crisis. You got that many folks. But you know what? Those men, they helped enable other members to serve. That's where I was going with that every member ministry. It's not that the pastors have to do it all, although we do what we do. The deacons don't have to do. They're not the only ones ought to be checking on homebound people. Can I get an amen? All right, come on, church. Now, I know this is not popular, and this is not 21st century kind of, you know, biblical ecclesiology. I go and I get my fix of theology at church. I go and we sing my style of music that I like at my church. I go and we do this at my church. This is what I do. Well, listen, there's a lot of you right in the middle of all that. You hear that? I'm going to tell you what, when you're in the middle, that's a problem. Because there's one who is central in the local church, and his name is to be Jesus Christ. Amen? And now, hey, I can have a lot of me in the middle too. I'm not just jumping on y'all. I'm not. But I'm saying our whole mindset has been transformed about me and what I want. And listen, Faith Family, Crawford Baptist Church, we want to love. By this will others know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. It's what Jesus says in John 13:35. May we be that kind of a church. We truly, genuinely care and want to serve. Pastor-led, deacon-assisted, every member ministry. This is what we want to see developed and strengthened in the future. Now, this last part, verses 5 through 7. Notice it. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles. They prayed. The apostles came and prayed over these seven men. They laid their hands on them. And one of the things when you study this passage with commentaries, which helps you better understand the Bible and stuff, and you've got a good study Bible, it'll help you there also. But you know what you need to realize is that these men have Greek names. So these men have a dog in the hunt, so to speak. So it was comforting as I studied these verses to see that a church that's probably dominated by the Hebrew, Aramaic type speaking people in that church, what most of the commentators would suggest, but they had men with connections to the Greek speaking Jews that they put in charge of this ministry. It shows you the protecting of the unity in this church. And so deacons then unify the church around the Word of God. There were needs to be met, but there were also deeper issues. You see, physical neglect was creating spiritual disunity. Christians were beginning to complain about one another. That wasn't all right in Jerusalem, and that's not all right in Mobile. We are not to do that. The deacons were appointed to nip this problem in the bud. And I wanted to just share for a moment this verse. Listen to this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, the intent to hurt people. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so we do not want to be a part of the problem. We want to be a part of the solution. And I believe these early forerunners of deacons were appointed to nip the problem in the bud. They were to be like shock absorbers in the church. In this tension, you see, they were to squelch the tension and rising disunity in the church. And you know what? This is what, you look at verse 7. Hey, the apostles had a great plan. You know why? Because it worked. And again, the Word of God continued to increase. That's what we pray. And that means the Word of God was going forth. People were coming under conviction of their sins. People were being regenerated, being born again, being saved, being baptized, being added to the local church. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, even to the point that some of the Jewish priests, who were pretty serious about what they were called to do, were saved. So you see, the gospel ministry, it will be endangered. And it's endangered today from a lot of different ways. The gospel ministry, beloved, must be protected. And we see an example of how the apostles led the church to do that back in their day in Acts 6. But in verse 7, we see that the gospel ministry should be fruitful. Gospel ministry should be fruitful. As the Word of God continues to increase, the number of disciples is multiplying greatly. That's what we're praying for here at Crawford Baptist Church. And by doing what we're doing today, brothers and sisters, in setting apart these two men, in recognizing our current deacons who are serving, we are seeking to protect the gospel ministry of Crawford Baptist Church, and we are seeking to see this ministry be more fruitful in the future than it's ever been before. And so as I land my plane, and we prepare now to have these brothers come, I want to say the ultimate point, again, from Acts 6 was the deacons were chosen to protect the what? The gospel ministry of the church, right? They're to protect the gospel ministry of the church that was being undermined by disunity in the church. And so again, today we've talked a lot about deacons, and I know that's a little unusual, but this is a biblical office, brothers and sisters. I think we've downplayed it over the years. It's a high calling, and the man who does well in this office receives great reward, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3. And so, brothers, I want you to deek well for the glory of God. But church, I want you to know that there are pastors in this church, there are deacons in this church, and we're about ready to set apart two more to be deacons in this church. Our primary goal is to proclaim the gospel, sing the gospel, pray the gospel, teach the gospel, live our lives on the basis of the gospel. We're to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, Paul says in numerous places. And so it's about the gospel, which, listen to me, the gospel is good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, and he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against our sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection, so that everyone who will turn from their sin, that's repentance, and believe in Christ, that's faith, will be reconciled to God forever. And so, yes, this sermon has been different than most on a Sunday morning. But yet, we're back to the gospel of Jesus, because he is the center of this church. He's the foundation of, he's the Lord of this church. In fact, that's why we're doing what we're doing this morning, because of who he is and what he calls us to be and do. And so, at this time, I'm going to ask if Andrew and Casey will come, and if Charlie will come, and brothers, we're going to have you come down here, and we're going to give you a chair, and I'm going to invite our pastors and our deacons in this room, ordained deacons, if you would come and pray for these men today. And then when that is done, we will have a final word and prepare to dismiss. But today is an honorable day. We're very thankful and grateful for this day. And so, let me help you, Brother Charles. If you'll just kneel down, that'll be fine. All right, if you'll just kneel, Brother Andrew, there, you will. All right, our deacons, if y'all will come, if you're an ordained pastor, deacon, if you'll come, and we're going to pray for these brothers in church. This is a time where we ask you just to be in a spirit of reflection and prayer for Charlie and for Andrew, and just reflect upon what God is doing in the worship time today. All right?